tugging, polarized, fist raised in anger, staring down, don't meet the eyes. Everyone's a stranger, don't look at me, can't you see? I don't wanna talk to you. I'm plugged into the world, I'm wired, wired but disconnected.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Snug Sound, a podcast for Wi-Fi hopping, coffee sipping mobile workers everywhere. I'm San Sharma, and if you're listening to this in the first week of its release, Happy New Year. Snug Sound is produced by WorkSnug in association with Plantronics, simply smarter communications. Find out more at plantronics.com. On the Skype line with me today is Ian Sanders, business expert, author, and as far as I can tell from your Skype name, Ian, juggler. Are you an actual juggler, or is this a reference to work-life balance?
Hi, Stan. Good morning. Juggler. Yeah, no, that's a reference to one of my books, which was called Juggle. And I wasn't on Skype at the time. And when that book came out, I was doing a few interviews. It's like, what am I going to call myself? So I went for chief juggler. But no, joking apart, I think, like a lot of us, I can't juggle oranges or apples or balls, but I do a fairly good job at juggling, you know, my work life.
That's good. I'm awful at both kinds of juggling, but I'm trying to improve on one, not the other. I have no chance with circus skills, but maybe we can improve the way we both work. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit in this podcast, the way you work, the way I work, and the way work itself is changing, and business and enterprise. So a little bit about entrepreneurship. But let me just introduce listeners to Ian Sanders, in case you're unfamiliar. Ian kindly guest posted for the WorkSnug blog about Zooming from an idea scrawled on the back of a coffee shop napkin to a full-blown business. So Ian, tell us a little bit about Zoom and how you think our entrepreneurial listeners can make their business ideas happen fast.
Well, I think, Sam, you've just kind of answered it in a nutshell, because I think when we're thinking about launching businesses and we've got an idea and we want to make it happen, I think too many of us get paralyzed and stuck in a kind of, you know, strategic plan of, oh, we've got to take months and months to make this happen. And Zoom is awfully simple. It's about doing it. It's about, you know, you've got an idea and focusing on executing it. I don't know about you, Stan, but I kind of feel like I've met so many people over the years, and you meet them in a pub, you meet them in coffee shops, places like where I am now, and you hear they've got this great idea for a business. You're like, oh, that's awesome, that's great. And you keep in touch with them and you say, yeah, how did that go? How are you getting on with that business? And all too often you hear, oh yeah, I haven't got around to doing it. You know, I got really busy, and then, oh, I spoke to so many people about it, and they said, well, are you sure it's a really good idea? And I, you know, that they lost faith, they lost confidence in their idea. And I think sometimes it's about, you know, taking an idea, having the courage to launch it rapidly. And you may, I was going to swear there, you may balls up, and it may, you know, may not quite go the way you know the way you hoped, but at least by launching it, San, you can kind of learn as you go, and you can see what works and what doesn't. So I think Zoom in a nutshell is about competing on speed. I think there's so many we live in a world where the marketplace can be quite abundant. And what I mean by that is, you know, how many of us, you know, like you and me, are there around the world, digital nomads sitting in coffee shops with our ideas? Mm-hmm. And who knows, while we're sitting here, you're in London, I'm in Edinburgh today, there's people all over the place that have got similar awesome ideas. And I think sometimes it's about he or she who gets first to market wins. And I'm a great believer in doing things rapidly.
And just getting it out there.
Just getting it out there. And of course, you know, doing it rapidly doesn't mean doing it badly. It's got to be fit for purpose. It's got to do its job. But I don't think we should obsess about it being, you know, 110%, sometimes 90% will do to get it out there.
I'm actually reading the Steve Jobs biography at the moment, like everyone else.
Yeah.
And it seems that there's a lot of very careful planning going on at Apple. Obviously, not everyone wants to be or can be Apple, but you're suggesting that just getting out something out there is better, or better.
Well, look, I think, let's be honest, Sam. If you're Apple, I think you probably need to have a plan. You know, you've got thousands and thousands of employees. You have got, you know, these products with millions and millions of users. And I think, you know, I think if you were Apple and you didn't have a strategic plan, that might be a bit foolish. But yep. if you're a 10-person business, if you're a 1-person business, if you don't have teams and teams of people on your payroll, you don't need huge premises, you don't have factories, you don't have huge cash flow requirements. Mm-hmm. Why do you need a plan? Why do you think you need a plan? I think people think they need a plan because that's what business convention and culture and most business books have told us for years and years and years. But the reality is, you know, who could have foreseen the economic mess that Europe's in at the moment? Mm-hmm. Who knew? Who could guess all the technological, you know, advancements? I think, I've spoken to quite a few entrepreneurs over the years, one of them nailed it when he said, you know, a business plan is really just a business guess, right? How can the idea that we can, you know, predict the future and put a 5-year plan together, I think is really a load of rubbish. But I do acknowledge for certain businesses, you know, you might need to have a plan. But I think for the small businesses, you know, I don't think you need to have a plan. You need a goal, right? I think a goal is important. So you need to have a focus on what you want to achieve, but I don't think you need a fixed linear, you know, week by week linear route for how you get there.
I mean, that Apple example that I'm guilty of using just there, it does contribute to a feeling of overwhelm with people that have business ideas. I think the idea of just getting started and getting the support that they need and getting a business plan together is quite overwhelming and quite off-putting for people. But barriers are changing, aren't they? I mean, there's a revolution going on, not only in the workplace. I mean, I'm working from home at the moment and you're in a coffee shop, but also the revolution is in business too. How is this digital era affecting businesses?
Well, it's just enabling, you know, such unprecedented opportunities for people, because those, you know, you don't have those barriers to entry that we used to have. And that flatter internet world means that, you know, you can, you know, especially if you're launching a digital business, you know, you haven't got fixed, tangible products to make, and, you know, it might be an app or a web-based business. Those opportunities are fantastic, because, you know, you can literally be that spare room startup or that coffee shop startup. But as I was saying earlier about abundance, that does mean that, you know, competition is as fierce as ever, especially in that long tail of the smartphone app market, where people are like, oh yeah, you know, I can, if you're a developer or a coder, yeah, I can launch an app without spending any money at all on it. But of course, hundreds of thousands of people doing similar things. So, makes for a more competitive market, but I think to answer your question, yes, it feels a lot flatter. It's not as simple as, you know, he or she with the best idea wins, because you need a lot of other ingredients. But it does feel like a nice kind of meritocracy, where if you've got a decent idea and you've got the right attitude and you've got that that ambition and that passion, you know, pretty much anything is possible.
Oh, that's very exciting. It's all about simplicity and speed, as you say in your book, right?
Yeah.
And also, you mentioned just then a phrase that I really liked, like a coffee shop startup. So let's talk a little bit about the way you work, and maybe we could explain the background noise we're picking up here, because you're actually in a coffee shop right now, aren't you?
I am. Yes, I'm in a coffee shop. Yeah, I've worked for myself. This is my 11th year of doing that. And you know what I learned quite early on was that working from home the whole time, I don't know about you, Sam, but for me, it's not viable, because I think it's fine if you've got a really busy day and you've got a lot to achieve and it's just kind of a head down day and you've got some phone calls and everything else. But I think, for me, I'm kind of in the ideas business, and you just get very kind of stale working from home. And what stimulates and inspires me is you know, having a lot of different environments to be in. So today you find me in Edinburgh. Often I'm in London or at my kind of neighbourhood coffee shops in Leigh-on-Sea in Essex, which is where I live. And when I started working for myself 11 years ago, you know, you didn't find many many coffee shops with Wi-Fi, but fortunately, and thanks to you guys at WorkSnug helping us navigate these places, you know, it's much more common now. And I think as I talk to you now, I'm just looking around and I'm counting the people tapping away at laptops.
They're Wi-Fi hopping, coffee sipping mobile workers, you could say.
Absolutely, yeah. You took the words off my mouth.
And to use a few more buzzwords, we could also describe connected coffee shops like the one you're in as incubators for startups and ideas. There's something quite inspirational about working in a busier, kind of noisier environment. Maybe not the best environment for a podcast, but it can lead to ideas, right?
I think you're right. And I think for a lot of us, we are, you know, in the micro businesses, you know, the one person businesses, let's face it, it can get a bit solitary. It can get a bit lonely. And even though you might be sitting in a coffee shop and you might not be, you know, in conversation with all the other people, I think being in an environment with kindred spirits and like-minded souls should not be underestimated, because you kind of feel like, hey, it's not just me. There's loads of us here. But for me, I kind of like this promiscuity in different locations and venues, Sam, because what I'll do is, especially when I'm in London, I've got my kind of dozen favourite places. And depending on what kind of thing I'm engaged in, I'll choose one of those spaces. So if I've got a kind of grown-up meeting with someone where I need to be, you know, quite well behaved, that'd be a certain place. If I've got a more casual meeting with someone I know really well, I'll pick somewhere else. If I've got a morning where I need to be coming up with loads of ideas, and it might not work for everyone, but I'll always go for somewhere quite noisy where I know there's a lot of music, there's a lot of vibe, because that helps me think. And I think, you know, what a great you know, I was talking to someone, I had a meeting with someone earlier today who lives outside of a city and outside of a town, and he was saying how he really struggles to find a space where he can hang out, because in some small towns, you know, they don't encourage coffee shop working because they think you're taking the mickey, you know, sitting there nursing one cup of coffee for an hour and a half. But in cities and towns, or bigger towns, you know, you can kind of get away with it, as you know, and I think it can be really... Really, it can fuel your working day if you get it right.
Yeah, well, hopefully the WorkSnug Coffee Shop Code of Conduct can improve the situation for people. But I am aware that we're breaking a few of those rules right now. Ian, is it awkward for you to talk about working in a coffee shop and how inspirational the environment is when you're in one and people can hear you?
Yeah, there is that. I'm the mad one in the corner that's talking, you know, just talking to myself, because they might not be able to see my headphones from here.
Can you see other people working at their laptops now? And do you think there are some business ideas, startup ideas happening right now?
That's a very good question.
Why don't you grab someone and ask them? I'm kidding. Don't do that. That'd be really awkward.
I think they probably are, and I think that's the whole point. I think when I started working in coffee shops, mates would see me and they'd go, oh yeah, you're just taking it easy, you're not working. And of course, I think part of this revolution in working practices that technology has enabled us, this digital revolution, means that I think in a way we kind of redefine what work is, you know. I mean, I might be sitting in a coffee shop on a Saturday, you know, with a coffee, but I might be scribbling ideas, and in inverted commas, I'm in work mode. And I think that's the whole point, you know. It's away from this whole work-life balance to what I kind of call work-life integration, where, you know, work isn't this 9-to-5 thing anymore. And I think, you know, there's a scientific reason behind it, which I won't attempt to explain, but I think there's a lot of, good reasons why when you're not in a boardroom and you're not in a formal meeting, but you're going for a run, you're in the shower, you're in a coffee shop, just sipping on a coffee, that's where the good ideas flow, you know? And I think get a combination of the right environment, a nice cheeky espresso and a notepad, and you're like, okay, you know. So I think, I think probably there are other people around here that are, you know, scribbling some ideas, and maybe those ideas will come to something, maybe they'll come to come to nothing. But I think, yes, it's a great environment for incubating ideas, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I totally agree. And I guess the question is to our listeners, if you've got an idea You don't necessarily need a business plan, as you're saying. You definitely don't need a business plan, and you don't need a workspace really. You don't need an office as such. You can
No.
just find a coffee shop or a co-working space, maybe somewhere to drop in. So I guess the question really is, what are you waiting for? What is stopping businesses from starting, and what is stopping these ideas turning into businesses?
I think the answer there, San, is that I think a lot. I think we need to rethink. We need to rethink the whole, attitude and mindset around business. I think when we say business to people, the B word, I think can alienate some people. Some people might think, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! I'm a creative. I'm an artist. I'm not a business." And I think one of the guys we spoke to for the book, Jeffrey Kalmakoff, who's one of the early team at Threadless, the t-shirt business, he said, he said business is the mechanic for taking an idea and making it happen, right? And I love that, because I think too many of us, when you say the B word, you think, oh no, I've got to put a suit on, I've got to have this plan, I've got to be all kind of grown up, I need to have a cash flow forecast. Yeah, okay, for some businesses maybe you do, but I think at its most basic, taking an idea and making it happen. Maybe you are listening to this and you're like, you're a t-shirt designer, or maybe making a business happen isn't about trying to sell loads and loads of t-shirts to a shop. Maybe you're making a business idea happen is taking a stall at Spitalfields Market for £10 on a Saturday, and selling your wares. And I think we overcomplicate business too much, and that's where people get paralysed. And they get stuck in this planning process. And I think you just and it might sound a bit cheesy, so apologies, but I think we just need to bring it back to basics and remember the very simple thing that we're trying to do here, which is we're trying to monetize a talent. We're trying to, design and market a product or whatever. And I think we all get caught up in this baggage of business thinking,
So you've heard it from Ian, listeners. It's really quite easy to get started. There's nothing stopping you. Pop to your local coffee shop and jot down some ideas. Make it happen.
You said it.
Thanks for your time, Ian. Thanks for joining us in a coffee shop and practicing what we preach. And I hope it hasn't been too awkward for you to lower your voice and record this podcast there in that coffee shop in Edinburgh.
Not at all, Stan. It's been good. Now I just need now I need another coffee.
I think you've earned it. Go and get it.
Thanks, mate.
Well, thanks, Ian, for talking to us about zooming from a napkin idea to a business startup. If you'd like to find out more, visit his website, thezoomguys.com, or you can chat to Ian on Twitter at Ian Sanders. WorkSnug is a mobile app and website that helps you find laptop-friendly places nearby, like coffee shops with Wi-Fi. You can find out more at WorkSnug.com, and you can follow me on Twitter, why not, at WorkSnugSan. Until next time, and if you are listening to this in January 2012, Happy New Year! Snug Sound is produced by WorkSnug in association with Plantronics, simply smarter communications. Find out more at plantronics.com.